Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 11. John 11. Going through this blessed book and taking these scriptures verse by verse. You know that after the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, immediately it raised up, it exposed, made evident the animosity that the religious leaders had toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing how it's the religious folks that get so mad? The council of the chief priests and the Pharisees plotted against the Lord. It was because, outwardly speaking, it was because of their fear, they said, of the Jew, of the Romans. If we leave this man alone, the Romans are going to come, and they're going to take away our place. They're going to take away our land. They're going to take away everything. But you know why they hated the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because He exposed them for what they are. This is what the gospel of God's grace does. There's only two messages, you know this, there's only two messages that's preached in this world. Salvation is either totally, completely, finally, eternally, by the grace of God, whereby Almighty God saves a sinner and then tells him about it. Or it is the message whereby men set forth that God wants to save people, but He can't unless they let Him. Now, one of these messages is not so. Let's see what God has to say. John 11, 47, 48, the Scriptures said, while they were plotting together, then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. Now that should have rang a bell, shouldn't it? This man is making blind men see and lame men walk, and he's given sight, he's given hearing, he's raised a man from the dead. This man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Romans shall come, take away both our place and our nation. Truly, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But Proverbs 29:25 says, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Well, having heard the plotting of the group, verse 49 to 52 of John 11, one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us. It's advantageous. That's what that word means. It's to our advantage that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Now, truly, the words that this man spoke, they absolutely were from a heart of wickedness. This man was saying just exactly what he wanted to say. It's to our advantage. Now, you people, what he said was, you people don't know anything. They were all perplexed. They were saying, what are we going to do? This man's doing all kind of miracles, and if we leave him alone, then the Romans are going to come here and going to take away our place. And he said, you people don't know anything. It's expedient. It would be to our advantage to let this man die, and we're going to have to take care of this. It'd be to our advantage to let him die, that the whole nation would not perish. He meant that. He meant it. He meant we need to kill him. This man's trouble. He's trouble. Let's kill him. But the Spirit of God moved that man to say just exactly what he said. That's what Scripture says. This spake he not, verse 51, of himself, of being the high priest. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. The Spirit of God moved on that man and gave that man a desire, being the high priest that year, that he should set forth the glorious substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and did it through a wicked man's mouth. 2 Peter 1:20 says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know what that means? Men have never come up with what God's Word has to say. All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? God. All Scripture comes forth, penned of men, absolutely. Holy men of God were moved upon to write what they wrote. This man was right when he said, you know nothing at all. He was right about that. They were blind, ignorant men, blind to the glory of God, blind and ignorant to the only hope of salvation. And truly, it was expedient, it was advantageous for the true Israel, the chosen nation of God, God's elect, the heavenly Jerusalem, that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. Oh, how true it is. The wrath of man is going to praise him. Men stand up in rebellion against Almighty God, and they say just exactly what they want to say. And the Lord is going to take the rebellion of men, and he's going to work it for good of God's people. Almighty God is going to move and direct and charge men with rebellion for what they do. And all the while, they're going to praise him. They're going to bless him. Caiaphas emphatically stated, this man should die for the people. And of course, the whole council set out to do that very thing. Look at verse 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. And here they were, doing exactly what they wanted to do. And all the while, they were accomplishing the purpose of God. Now, what was the purpose of God? Almighty God had sent the Lord Jesus Christ, His servant. The Lord Jesus Christ, God. God Almighty, who took upon Himself the form of sinful flesh. The form. He knew no sin. And He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to redeem His people from their sins. What people? Those that the Father had given Him in electing grace. The sheep. John 10:15 says that. He came into this world and men hated Him. There was a nature born in man that hates God. They hate Him. The Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples, He said, they hated Me before they hated you. You don't have to teach a dog to hate a cat. There's just a nature about him that just hates a cat. You don't have to teach a sinner born in Adam to hate God. There's a nature in every man that hates God. The carnal heart, the man born in Adam, is enmity against God. Now the thing we know is this, we're not making this up. We're repeating what the Lord has said. Look at Acts 2:22-23. Acts 2:22-23. Here's Peter speaking to the people on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, Him being delivered. Now we do know that the Lord Jesus Christ was delivered into the hands of men. Was He not? We know that. He was delivered into the hands of men. Who delivered Him into the hands of men? The Scripture says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now who delivered Him into the hands of the wicked men? God did. What was the means by which Almighty God accomplished His purpose in the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ? The wicked hands of men. Almighty God moves upon all men in the accomplishment of His purpose. And men that stand in rebellion against Almighty God are not without blame. God Almighty does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no man stops Him, stays His hand. These men, these wicked religious bigots, had one thing on their mind: we're going to kill Him because He's going to mess us up. We're going to kill Him. And they were accomplishing the purpose of God. And they were accomplishing the purpose of God while they themselves were guilty. The Lord had a people found within the nation of Israel that He was going to die for. But He has a chosen people also scattered throughout all of the world. Look at verse 52. Caiaphas, when he was prophesying under the inspiration of God's Spirit, while he himself knew nothing of God's grace. The Scripture says in verse 52, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. God Almighty has an elect people, and they're scattered all over this world, and He is absolutely going to save them. Look at Romans 11. Romans 11:26. Romans 11:26-27. And so all Israel shall be saved. Does that mean everyone that's ever been found in the nation of Israel? No. How do you know that? Well, I know this for some. There were some that the Lord Jesus Christ told them in John 10. He said, "You're not my sheep. Reason you don't believe, you're not my sheep." Not all of Israel, all of spiritual Israel shall be saved. As is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness for Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. I shall take away their sins. Chosen people. Out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, that's what Revelation 4:9 says. So it was expedient for the people of God that the Lord Jesus Christ die, that His people would not. 1 John 2:2 says this, and He is the propitiation, the restorer, one that restores, the restorer of friendship. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Everybody's? Everybody's sins? Turn to John 17. John 17. Scripture says the whole world. What did the Lord Jesus Christ mean? John 17, verse 6 to verse 9. John 17:6. Now here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's praying unto His Father this high priestly prayer. And He says, "I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word." Now let me say this before I read anything else. Let me tell you who He was specifically referring to right there. And then I'll tell you also what He means concerning not only those, but those that will hear later. He was talking specifically about His apostles that were His elect. Specifically. There were 11 of them. Judas was not one of His sheep. Never was one of His sheep. He was a son of perdition. Let me show you that. "I've manifested Thy name unto the men Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, Thou gavest them Me. They've kept Thy word. They have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine." Now let me ask you this. If the Lord Jesus Christ loves every man, every woman, without exception, don't you think He'd pray for them? Now here were some that He was saying, "I'm not praying for. I am not praying for them. I'm praying for those that you gave me out of the world. I am not praying for the world. I pray, look at verse 9. I pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look at verse 20 and 21. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He must die as the substitute to put away the guilt of his elect, that the law might be satisfied, that its demands for justice might be met, for God to be just, and for God to justify a sinner. Christ must die in the place of his people. I lay down my life, he said, for the sheep, and every one of God's sheep are going to be saved. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of God, that shall stand. You rest assured. Men may stand in rebellion against the Lord of glory and against God's sovereign right to do what He will, to save whomsoever He will, but all the rebellion of against the Lord is going to prove to His honor and His glory and to the demise of all that stand against Him. Everything's going to praise the Lord. Everything is going to be to His honor and His glory. When evil men do what they want to do, they do it to their own death. They do what they want to do against Him. When Joseph, his brother, sold him into slavery, you know that story. Years later, the Lord sent a famine and made his brothers have to go down before Joseph. Joseph was second in command in Egypt. And they had to go and talk to Joseph. He knew who they were, and he loved them. He was tender to them. And they told him the story. You know, they said, we've got a dad back there, and we're just kind of in a world of hurt. And Joseph sent everybody else out. Nobody in there but Joseph and his brothers. And he wept, because he loved them. And this is what he told them concerning what they'd done to him. Genesis 50:20, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. That evil. The evil that they did it because they wanted to do it. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these folks, they're doing just exactly what they want to do. They hated Him because He exposed them. One man stood up who was the high priest that year and prophesied, it is to our advantage that this one man die. That's true. That's true. That the whole nation perish not. The Spirit of God moved upon John to write this in verse 52. Not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God. They were always the children of God. They've always been God's children. If they're God's children, now they've always been God's children. They never became God's children in time. They were made manifest in time. But they've always been His children. They took counsel together to put Him to death. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew it. How did He know it? He's God. How many times did Scriptures record He knew their thoughts? And the Lord, knowing their hearts, said unto them, "Why think you evil?" They were doing just exactly what they wanted to do. And let me tell you, in verse 54, here is a word, and it's the first word in verse 54. Oh, a second, actually. Jesus, therefore. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with His disciples. They were doing just exactly what they wanted to do, accomplishing the purpose of God. They plotted against Him, and the Lord, therefore, walked no more among them. The Spirit of God recorded those words, therefore, because of their rebellion, walk no more openly. If the Lord withdraws Himself, there's no hope. If Almighty God leaves a man to himself, leaves him in unbelief, there is no hope. Verse 55 to 57, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went up. No, I'm sorry. And many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think ye? That He will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him. Here's the carnal but religious man playing his game. They came to outwardly purify themselves to be seen of men. That's what the Lord said. He said, don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees. He said they like to stand on a corner and they like to be seen of men. A few days, these people that were, in just a little bit, they were going to be crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Look at verse 12. That's what's getting ready to start the event after the Lord has a supper with Lazarus and Martha, Mary. The people, in just a little while, they're going to start crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be He that comes in God's name. They thought that He was going to be their physical deliverer. He was going to get them out from under the yoke of Rome. Didn't realize His mission. Soon they'd be crying, crucify Him too. But for these Jews right here that plotted against Him, the Lord withdrew Himself. Then they started watching. You think He's going to show up? You think He's going to be here? For a while, it's going to be somewhat of a holding back by the Spirit of God, a restraining by the Spirit of God. But in that day, when Almighty God is pleased to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified in the moment of His crucifixion, all of God's people shall be redeemed. And all of these that stand in rebellion against Him will not be held guiltless. They watched. It's expedient that just one man die, that the whole nation perish not. Lord, cause us afresh today to see by faith the advantage, the expediency of the Lord Jesus Christ putting away the guilt of His people. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.